Now on to some letters to the Evening News. First of all, David Taylor of Hempnall takes on the vexed question of public and private sector services. In recent weeks, there have been several letters to the editor arguing the perceived merits and failures of public and private sector services. This is like comparing apples and pears. Having worked both sides, the fundamental problem is that the public sector services are not always amenable to the same levels of efficiency as the private sector. Public services must deal with everyone in society, from the most recalcitrant to the most polite, the most competent to the most challenged or vulnerable. If you were driven by efficiency, you would simply not deal with certain individuals. Some private companies do this all the time, honing their services to maximum efficiency and leaving behind those who cannot keep up. Public services are more open to criticism from those receiving these services and are regularly scrutinised by government auditors measuring performance against quality targets. This information is in the public domain and assists identifying systemic faults and wastage. Private companies will have the same challenges, but we do not have access to the same level of detail. Not until they take on a public sector contract. For example, PPE during COVID government building contracts, rail services, Fujitsu's role in the Royal Mail fiasco, I could go on. I think after 14 years arguing that public services should operate like the private sector, this argument has become hugely questionable. They serve different purposes and deal with different problems. Not shallow comparisons does an injustice to both sectors.
Regular correspondent Steve McKinder of Denver comments on the enthusiasm for veganism. The letter from Jennifer White of PETA promoting Veganuary makes a good stab at extolling the virtues of an animal and cruelty-free vegan diet, and I'm happy for those who wish to try assuming the high moral ground, but don't get too comfortable. I work in arable crop production and struggle to see how vegans ever totally avoid animal exploitation. Sure, veganism allows the cute animals to die of old age, but watch a farmer plough land or harvest your delicious veggies and see how many billions of animals like frogs or moles and clearly uncute creatures get thoughtlessly destroyed. While it must be nice to tell yourself you're not killing animals, it's really a massive self-deceit. Obviously, promoting vegetables as a healthier, greener option is a good thing. But stop kidding yourselves about being ethical. Animals die to feed you every single second of every day, and no adherence to some exclusively plant-based diet will expunge your complicity in these tiny animal deaths. My dietary ethics stick to avoiding imported exotic vegetables and ingredients and chooses locally grown and kindly reared meat from known suppliers. And I'd suggest it's infinitely more honest to seek ethical farming and husbandry of livestock for your table. Unless you can find a way of harvesting and growing your food without killing something, then could I suggest everyone comes down from that rocky high moral ground and leave it for the sheep to happily graze until their time comes.
Simon Beckett ponders on choices made by the newspaper's correspondents who enjoy running. The contrast between your running correspondents is stark. Neil Featherby ran 8 miles as the Hare on Boxing Day in spite of the knee injury he's told us about recently. But his protege, Mark Armstrong, hurt his ankle while trying to keep up with his young son at Pocket Park Run. Mark stopped after a loop of the course. Which is the better role model? Brave or sensible? Reckless or timid? Does fortune favour the brave, or is discretion the better part of valour? I wasn't sure, but made my mind up after running a lap of Norwich Park Run today.
Ian Jessett of Stowbeden is frustrated by the announcement by the government of yet another review. I see that the Labour government have instigated another review, this time on social care. This adds to the other 60 or so reviews that they have said they will do since they came to power. Are they actually going to do anything or just carry out reviews? May I suggest they instigate a review into why there are so many reviews?
In view of a government proposal to do away with some local councils in favour of larger authorities, Godfrey Sayers of Wiveton seems to have his tongue firmly in his cheek as he says, I'm wondering what this government's first measure might be towards its aim of total top-down governmental control. Perhaps they will implement a scheme, at the usual cost of millions of pounds, to collect every mayoral and council leader's chain of office, recycle them, and use the cash from the metal, which could probably be as much as a couple of hundred quid, to buy a new painting of Lenin to fill the space left on the wall by Margaret Thatcher's discarded portrait in Downing Street. More seriously, I do hope that no one in government reads this, as it's probably too good an idea for them to resist.